الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاع أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفداء لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam in Jannah. And he was living there, and Allah gave him one negative command: don't eat of this certain tree. Allah ta'ala created Shaitan also, and Allah gave him a positive command: make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Both erred and made mistake. Adam alayhi salam forgot, wa-nasiya, he forgot. His jazba was fully to obey Allah, but he slept up. Shaitan, on the other hand, his nature was, he was doing everything for himself. And in this we have to be very careful. We might be very righteous, pious, but we are not doing it for the pleasure of Allah. We are doing it for our own fame, glory, money, and things besides Allah Ta'ala. And it's hidden in the heart in such a way that a person himself also doesn't know. Then later on life, somewhere something happens, then it comes out. That what was actually the thing what was in that life. There is a very, very beneficial kitab which we should try and get and read. Tilbis e Iblis. How Iblis, Shaitan, how he is so cunning and how he misleads people. And he goes to everyone in their category. He'll go to a housewife according to her, children, young people according to them. He'll go to an alim according to him, and no sheikh also is spared. He can be sheikhul hadith, he can be sheikhul mashayikh, but shaitan has got his special tricks for him, how to involve him. And how he gets people involved, we don't understand. What we are seeing today, how people are just going offline. So this was something that was Shaitan all the time had this in him, that he's somebody great, he's somebody big. And it came out when Allah told him to make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Also a very interesting point here to note, that Shaitan, who is the key, who is the most sly, the most shrewd, who leads everyone, and he leads people astray, and he makes them make other people go astray. He is the source of all the misguidance in the world. But he himself also, he also said that, خَلَقْتَنِي, O Allah, you created me. First year student of Arabic will know, خَلَقْتَ, that you created. Ni, you created me. مِن نَار, you created me from fire. That am I was created by you. And he also said, وَخَلَقْتَهُ, you created Adam alayhi salam, خَلَقْتَ, You created him, min teen, from sand. He also didn't say that man was from monkeys. Even the leader of all those who are gone astray, he also says that you created Adam alayhi salam, and you created him from sand, and you created me from fire. Where they came out with the story, usually shaitan puts it in people, but that isn't even from shaitan. He also openly admits, and he says that, oh Allah, you created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Anyway, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, it was in his nature, the love of Allah, the obedience of Allah, and that is what we must develop. And the way to develop that is with the dhikr of Allah, to think of the ni'mats of Allah upon us, to meditate all the creation of Allah Ta'ala, the company of the righteous and the pious. When that urge of the love of Allah comes, even a person falters in that path, but he will be successful. And when a person wants to his benefit, his name, his fame, ego, he satisfies himself, uses logic, then that person will go astray. So when Adam alayhi salatu wasalam slipped up for nasiya, then immediately he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, I made a mistake. When shaitan made a mistake and it was brought to his attention that I told you to make sajda, you didn't obey my command, he said that ana khairum minhu. He uses his mantik, his logic, that I am better than him. And this he had in him all the time, that I am very great. And he made so much ibadah that there isn't a span of land anywhere left where he didn't make sajda. So much knowledge he had, the knowledge of the what we will call the fine print of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, the juziyat of their shariat, he had all that also. And he had the marifat of Allah. He knew Allah is so merciful, so kind, his clemency, his mercy, that even when Allah is very angry, Allah's anger doesn't overtake Allah Ta'ala. Even at that time, he made dua and he said, Anzirni, give me time till the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala said, go, I give you time. So he knew even at that time, Allah will accept my dua. But what he didn't have, that love of Allah. He didn't have that to submit whatever Allah says, that I accept. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi gives us beautiful example in his Mastawi, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi taught us many times, that a king told one of his subjects, person who was under him, dive in the water and see that your clothes don't get wet. Immediately he jumped in. He told him, come out. And he said, I told you mustn't let your clothes get wet. What did he say? Maaf. He didn't say, is your head in order? If you go in water, your clothes have to get wet. But he said, Maaf, forgive me that my clothes got wet. That is what we have to develop. That Allah put us in this dunya, and this dunya is Allah made it a place of temptation. You will get kullukum khatta'un. All of you will make mistakes. Who Allah protects, the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, they are ma'asoom. And whom Allah Ta'ala protects, they will get saved. But otherwise, all of us we will get. But when we get involved in guna, now we don't say, Allah, I was helpless. I'm working such a place, all women around me. I'm doing this work. What if the difference? Banda of Allah will say, maaf. Wherever he erred, maaf. He won't justify. He won't use his logic. That is the way of shaitan. The way of Adam alayhi salam, and he became maqbool of Allah. After that, Allah made him his Nabi. Allah made him Abul Bashar, the father of all mankind. And Allah sent him for a while in dunya and took him back to Jannah again. So the way of ours is that we should turn to Allah Ta'ala. We should, whenever we should ask forgiveness, tawbah, when we have made open gunas, and we are all the time involved in gunas. For example, as we are sitting here, how many of us, we are thinking of other things, wrong things also. Hey, how many of us? So we are involved in guna, in our namaz we are involved in guna, in our tahajjud, in our du'as. So we must make tawbah, istighfar all the time. And shaitan, what did he do? He said when Allah Ta'ala had cursed him and now sent him out of his court, out of his mercy, So he said, ثُمَّ لَعَاتِيَنَّ لَوْزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will make things look beautiful. They are not beautiful. How many times we experience it ourselves? We saw a woman, oh, she's so smart, you got involved. Afterwards you say, where I got involved? She, what is she? Nothing was her. Even look she hasn't got. Shaitan makes it. Comes clearly in the hadith, when a woman goes out of the house, Shaitan surrounds her. That is, he makes her look beautiful. She is not beautiful. And afterwards when you learn her character is so terrible, and everything so bad, what a bad record she has got. What a terrible way I went and get involved in. So Shaitan beautifies and makes it like that. So he said, لَوْزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادِكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaitan also, he gave us the solution. You want to get safe from me? Become عِبَادِ مُخْلَصِينَ. Bring ikhlas in us. One time, Walana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi explained some matters. So they say, but ikhlas is very hard. Maulana said, wait, it's hard. It's in your choice. Whatever you do, just do it for Allah's pleasure. It's human nature. It is part of us that we want to show what we do. And the work of a kamil shaykh is not to take that out from you that you want to show. Not izala, it is imala. Show it, no problem. But show it to Allah. Don't show it to... What can people do for you? They praise you in front of your face. Behind you, they speak back about you. Even if they genuinely praise for how long? 10 years, 20 years, one generation, 20 generations. Then finish. They will write big kitabs about you, your biography. After that, nobody will even know that a kitab exists like that. You did it for Allah, forever and Allah will reward you. So you want to show, no problem, but show it to Allah. By people, you will get nothing whatsoever. So we must, so Shaitan will get us involved. So just do it for the pleasure of Allah. And then Shaitan's effect, otherwise Shaitan is so sly, so shrewd, nobody can get saved from it. But he told us himself, one time, one person met Shaitan, and there are people who meet Shaitan, who meet Khidr alayhi salam, Allah's system works. So he told him, that tell me one thing, how can I become like you? So he also was taken aback. Till today nobody had put that request to me, that they want to become like me, all want to run from me. You want to become like me? Why? What prompted you? What made you desire this? He said, no, I just came in my heart, I want to be like you. So Shaitan, he told, do two things. Don't make namaz and always speak lies. Don't fulfill your promises. So that person said, I'll never do that. I'll always make my namaz and I'll always say that. Shaitan said, nobody deceived me till today. How you deceived me and you got me. So Shaitan, he deceives people like this. So if we develop the quality of ikhlas, Shaitan won't have the upper hand of us, wherever we are. The other ayat of the Quran, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Shaitan here gave another solution. You won't find most of the people who make shukr. In other words, Shaitan said, I'll come from in front, from the back, from all sides, every way, they won't be able to escape me. I will definitely, they will come in my clutches. How I will get them involved? But he said, those people who make shukr, I won't be able to have an upper hand on them. So the other thing is, we just develop shukr in our lives. If we develop, and shukr is also so easy. It's just a matter of scratching the surface. Like many things, you have codes. And you just have to scratch the surface, then you get your code. And once you get your code, it's a door, gateway for so many things you can do after that, once you have got your code. So shukr also, if a person just thinks a little bit, whatever goodness in our lives, it's only from Allah. A person thinks, my eyes, what a big ni'mat we all realize it is. Our brains, they are in order, what a big ni'mat. Heart is functioning. Lungs are functioning. Every so many names of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. in our own bodies. Forget the ni'mat which are around us. Forget our wife, our children that we have got. My son became a hafiz, he became an alim. What big ni'mat. So many ni'mat of Allah. A person can't help but make shukr. He'll be drowned in shukr. We just have to scratch the surface, and then, well, till the surface is not scratched, till we don't realize it, I think I'm doing this. I did this. I achieved that. But the minute you scratch the surface, it's nothing but it's Allah Ta'ala. So that is shukr. And the minute you have shukr, you have ikhlas. Shaitan can't affect you then. So it is so easy for us. So anyway, shaitan, the efforts that he does to mislead people, and he had taken a vow, till the day of Qiyamah, I will work on a person. I will work on a person, he can make all his Hajj, Umrah, great works of deen. He can be a great person, but at the time of mort, I will come and I will rob him of his iman. I will destroy his iman. Of course, if we work on our ikhlas, we make shukr, it won't have any effect on us. But otherwise, a person, if he is like shaitan made all his ibadat and then he went astray. We can be making all our ibadat if we don't connect ourselves with the zikr of Allah, thinking of the ni'mat of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, what the man of Allah Ta'ala, and the easiest of all of them is to connect, and the source of all the other goodness, to connect ourselves with the man of Allah, who we think in our heart, this is a man of Allah. Just connect ourselves with him, and then we will get saved. So shaitan will try, he has vowed, till the day of Qiyamah he is going to try. So in that he will come, and how many people he leads astray. And as Allah Ta'ala says, وَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. On his knowledge Allah will make him go astray. Many people with all the knowledge of deen that they have, not other knowledge of dunya, knowledge of deen, they are caused to go astray. They take the knowledge is not also a thing that can save us. Knowledge will save us when we make amal on that knowledge. For example, a hafiz of Quran, what a great thing. What effort is made. A child, usually we go to a hifz jalsa, 1 hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours, we get tired. All the time sitting there, we are turning from this side to that side, we're going out, we're coming back, and it's not getting finished. We get tired in 2-3 hours. That boy didn't sit for 2-3 hours. How many hours then he became a hafiz? His ustad didn't sit with him 2-3 hours. And the ustad had to tolerate all the mistakes he makes also. And repeatedly he makes a mistake. He told me, I showed you this mistake. How many times I told you? The ustad had to get cross with him for how long? Then he became a hafiz. So what effort? But all that he was a student, and he doesn't make amal on what the Quran teaches. All that virtues which are for a hafiz, he is for that hafiz, wa amila bima fiha, who makes amal on the Quran Sharif. If that hafiz has got too length hair, dyed, and all funny things now, somebody said that even they are writing the name here at the back of the person. All this funny thing, he's wearing his long Saudi Yahudi kurta, and under that he's got a torn jeans, patched jeans, the fashion of the others, then the virtues are not for such a hafiz. It is for that person who makes amal also. وَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامُهُ. The halal of the Quran, he accepts it as halal, and the haram is haram. So anyway, so all these virtues also, they are for those people who make amal. So whatever we are doing, how shaitan deceives us, he lets us make amal. Outwardly we get the title hafiz, alim, haji. We went for umrah. How many hajis? We make hajj, but we come back with more guna. Hajj is that ibadat that you are free of all your gunas. You are born, you are like a newborn baby. But how many of us, we load ourselves with gunas. Going for hajj, we don't make namaz. Coming we don't make, we're just going there, and then we are there also mixing with other people. No parda whatsoever. We're breaking the laws of Allah. We're not even regular with our namazes in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif. We're loading ourselves with more guna. So shaitan has got his ways. And he has promised, he has taken an oath. Tell your every person's mort, he will make an effort. Till the day of Qiyamah, I will make an effort, he said. And Allah gave him that. And that was the test which Allah Ta'ala made. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, rahmatullah alayhi, very great alim. And a great mufassir of the Quran. One of the greatest major tafsir, or in tafsir, tafsir al-kabir of Imam Fakhruddin Razi. But and a great philosopher also. Even in philosophy, he was very greatly advanced. When Shaitan came to him, he asked him, you believe in Allah? Of course I believe in Allah. What's your proof? He gave his proof. Shaitan broke his proof. Then he gave another proof. Shaitan broke it. 99 proofs of Allah. Shaitan, who can debate with him? You can't argue. And our Mashayikh tell us that don't try and argue with Shaitan. Seek Allah's protection. Come in Allah's protection. Today people say you are living in a cocoon. You just have a one-track mind, narrow mind. You are safe in there. If you want to be broad-minded and you want to entertain everyone, we have seen those close friends of ours. They read books of other people and then they got those ideas in their life. The poison of death comes in you. Just you stick to your Quran, Hadith, and make sure whenever we read any kitab, they ask the ulama who you trust, is this kitab? Can I read it? Don't just read anyone's kitab. And when you want to hear a bayan, also ask, can I listen to this person? No matter how sweet and good that bayan be, even about deeny matters, but where they put in their poison, and that poison comes into a person. So shaitan works in different ways to mislead people. So we have to be very careful all the time. So Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullah alayhi, 99 proofs of his, of the existence of Allah. If somebody asks me, you, that what's the proof of Allah, perhaps we won't have one proof also. Okay? Many times people ask us, you're giving da'wah to a non-Muslim. He says, yes, you're talking about God, but who is God? Where is God? Then we are taken, we're on the back foot. Now what to say to the person? Imam Fakhruddin Razi, to a person who was debating with him, shaitan, 99 proofs he presented. All 99 shaitan proofs. Then he heard a sound that came, and from the unseen, that his sheikh told him, that tell shaitan, I believe in Allah without any proof. Now what proof is shaitan going to bring? That I just believe in Allah, finish, end of the story. Proof, no proof, I got no, I just believe in Allah. Today it's very important that all what we say we are confused, don't be confused. We know what is the right path. We know what is the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We know what is the Quran and Hadith teaching us. We know the way of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, the Khulafai Rashidin. We know of the three great, great eras of Islam. خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi Tabi'een. We know what was Islam in that time. All of us know. So you just stick to that. And without any proof, that is what I believe. Finish, you are safe. And when you want to try and debate with people, Allahu Akbar. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali said that one somebody who came to debate with him. So he told him, see, for a debate, where there are certain conditions that they make between them for debate. So the one of that is that if you prove me wrong, then I will must accept what you say. And if I prove you wrong, you must accept what I must say. So if and in order to prove right and wrong, you don't have to be right. The more a person is forceful in his argument, how to present his argument, Allahu Akbar. Muhazir Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali told us, when we were studying in India, at that time it was a current court case. According to Hindu religion, the eldest son inherits everything. He inherits from his father, he becomes the youngest son. he went and put a case in the court that I am the eldest. He's the youngest. All know he's the youngest. But he put that I am the eldest and I must get all that. So the court case. So he had to present his argument. So he said that the eldest son, he was born of that semen of the father that was in front. I was at the back. I came out more later. So I'm elder than him. And what makes sense in the judge's head, according to that he makes decisions. What funny decision judges also make. Unbelievable. What? So he passed it. He said, yes, you are the eldest son. The youngest son, the whole world says he's the youngest son. He's the eldest and he inherited everything. So shaitan works like that. So we can't fight shaitan. Don't try to fight him. The safest route, so Imam Malik rahmatullah Ali said, that how a person is forceful. Lawyers, how they win cases. On technical points. Small little points. And they turn around the whole case. That it was clear to the world this person is going to be guilty or not guilty. But how they argue the case, they win the case. So like that, so Imam Malik said, you can win me or I can win you. So if I win you, you'll have to listen to me. If you win me, I'll have to listen to you. After that, if another person comes in debate and he's got another idea and he's a stronger debater and his arguments he can present better, then we'll have to listen. So we won't be anywhere. We'll be all the time gathers no moss. A rolling stone gathers. We'll just be here, there. We'll be nowhere. Iman is we are firm. That we believe in Allah. So much we believe that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the last and final Nabi. That Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi say, if somebody claims to be a Nabi and you ask him, what is your proof? Let me see. You lose your Iman. In other words, there is no question. So convinced we are. Like that we have to be convinced of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the life of the Sahaba, we are convinced that is the life. The life of Quran and Hadith, the life of the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, and anything new, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said very clearly, Irbad ibn Sariya, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great Sahabi, he narrates the Hadith. One time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave a very, very heart-rendering bayan. Zarafat minhal uyun. Tears were flowing, everyone's tears. What a bayan. Wajilat minhal qulub. Hearts were trembling. So somebody said, oh Allah's Nabi, looks like this is your farewell talk sermon. It looks like you are passing. What a bayan you have given. What do you want from us? What do you want us to pledge ourselves to you? Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala taqwa, on taqwa. And ala sam'i wa ta'a, obey your amir. Even if he's a black slave, he's made your amir, be obedient to him. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, tara ikhtilafan kathira. After me, may ya'ish minkum. Those who will live after me, they will see a lot of differences. And then what must you do? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ Follow my sunnah and the sunnahs of my khulafai rashideen. أَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِسِ Hold firmly onto it with your molars, with your back teeth. If you hold something with your front teeth, it gets pulled out easily. In other words, stick to it firm. That even if it is like burning amber coals in your hand, tolerate it. Stick to it. Don't let it go. And remember Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you will see a lot of muhdathat, bid'at, new things. Muhdathat, new things. Wa kullu muhdathatin bid'a, wa kullu bid'atin dalala, wa kullu dalalatin finnar. All that you will see, new things. So we all know what is our old religion. What we have been taught. Photography is haram, the whole world knew it. Till about 13 and a half centuries, the whole world. Then it was the ulama of Egypt, Azhar, who were the first to say that photographies, and then it carried on, a few people caught on. But till today, the vast majority of the ummah, there are many people who are involved in photography, but they know it is haram. So we know what it is. Music is haram. The world knows it's haram. in Islam, and all matters of deen, we must look with the eyes of deen, sharia. Don't look at deen with the eyes of dunya. Many of us, we feel from the eyes of dunya, we have to live in this country. We are the minorities. We have to listen to the majority. We are living. We have to fast in this dunya. The government will be taken to task if we don't abide by the laws. So we look at our deen from the eyes of dunya. That person will sell his deen. He'll wipe himself clear of the... No deen will be left. At the most, a cover of deen will be there. But inside there will be no deen whatsoever. We have to look at dunya with the eyes of deen. Our deen is the final. That is our benchmark. Dunya, we have got problems, we try and sort it out. Find loopholes, try and go around it, whatever it is. But we don't change our deen for the sake of dunya. A young man was getting married, so his fiancée, the girl he was going to get married to, she sent a pair of shoes for him. And she instructed him, these shoes you must wear on your wedding day. But for whatever reason, however it happened, about two sizes smaller for him. So it's not fitting him. And so what? Is it prudent and wise now that he chops his toes, that he have to wear that shoes for the wedding? Or will he wear his old torn sapats he got? But I won't chop my shoes. So for the sake of dunya, we must chop our deen. Today you chop it for this, tomorrow you chop it for that. One young man getting married, got married, and then he bought a pair of trousers, but they were too long for him. So he came home, he told his mother, if you will shorten my trousers, they are too long. She said that, my whole life I'm working for you. Now you married, you got your wife. She's the whole day, she's fighting with me, she's doing nothing else. Tell her she must shorten it, now she must do your work. So he said, my mother doesn't want to do it. He went to his sister, Bain, if you will shorten my trouser. She said, bhai, I was doing for you whole life. Now you got your wife, what is she worth? She must do it. Oh, she also don't want to do it. Went and tell his wife. And the wife also said, you can see my hands, all ghee and flour, and I'm cooking. Where are you? Your mother is shouting all day, making a big noise. Tell her to do it. Oh, you also don't want to do it. Depressed, he went and sleep, hung his trouser up on a hook. He was fast asleep. Mother thought that my son was so good to me. He does every one small favor more. What's the difference if I do it? She took the trouser, she shortened it, she hung it up. The sister, she thought, my brother, he treats me so well. He sees to all my needs. One small favor he asked me, let me go and take the trouser. She didn't know mother already shortened it. She took the trouser, she shortened it. Then the wife thought, the first thing we just married, the first favor my husband asked me, let me do it, what's the difference? I'll finish my cooking, I can do it. She sure. When he woke up, there was a small knicker. No trouser there left. So if our deen we all chop and cut, then what will be left of our deen? So we have to maintain our deen, which Allah Ta'ala has given us, and we have to hold on to it firmly. So anyway, shaitan will try all this. And with that he will bring, and he uses different people. Non-Muslims he uses. And in different forms he uses. Then he uses Muslim people. Who we will say, for example, amongst the Muslims who are university graduates, who are influenced by that way of life. And they come with their modern ideas. To this extent, when we were young, that time all the fitna was from this modernist. One modernist group at that time, they were adamant to bring women to the masjid. And they were fighting with the ulama. Ulama were firm on their stand that women are not permitted to come to the masjid. So the one person, he said that even if Allah himself comes and tells me that women are not permitted, I won't accept it. So that zehn comes of a person. That you don't think where you're standing. You go totally wrong. So they use them. But unfortunately today, they are using the ulama. When the government tells us to do something, or the modernists, all say these people are jahils, they don't know anything. Governments are our enemies, the other people are our enemies. But when our ulama tell us, then we think of it, must be right, he's a alim, he studied. I'm a jahil, I know nothing, they know Quran and Hadith. So there all the confusion. And when that happens, this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah will always, when the batil will be like this, and that is shaitan's work, till the day of Qiyamah to try and mislead people. Individuals right up till their mort, whoever it is, an abid, he will come in that form to him. An alim, he will come in that form to him. A big mufti, a book, big shaykhul hadith, shaykhul mashayikh, he will come in that way to him. Everyone, if we are not aware and we are not worried of our Islam and that am I on the right, if I take it for granted I'm right, that person is in very big danger ground. All the time we must be worried. And who has this worry? Allah loves that person. Allah protects that person. And make shukr. We develop our ikhlas. We will be protected. So then shaitan comes and uses the ulama. And when they will use, it is then Allah's system. Allah Ta'ala will use other people, ulama, anyone, in order to fight them. This will carry on. This is Allah's system. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضٌ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتَ Everything will be destroyed in this world. All places of worship, they won't be left. If only the people of Batil are given free reign, who are agents of shaitan. So whenever that will happen, Allah will send other people in order to bring about the truth and the right. So when this will happen, then there will be always a fight. And Allah Ta'ala has made it clear, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا If Allah had wished, the people should not have fought amongst themselves. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَلَفُوا The people shouldn't have any ikhtilaf, objection. The ulama have written mufassirin. If Allah wished to, Allah would have made all the people on one deen. No difference. And all are united. But Allah didn't wish that. Also they write that if Allah wished to, people would have been on different religions, on different ways, but they would have accepted one another. What today the big clamor, hue and cry of unity, that we all must have unity. Allah says, if I wished, I could have done that also. But Allah did not wish it. Allah wished, and shaitan's work and his misleading will carry on. And Allah will always bring people to fight them. So then there will be this clash, and this will carry on. So the thing is, don't worry about the clash. Even the Sahaba had their difference. The battle of Siffin that took place between Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was Hazrat Ali? And who on the other side? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hey, both are Sahaba. Both are on 100%. They how they understood, and they were fighting with one another. So even amongst the Sahaba this was happening. And it had all the time. So these differences will be there. That is not the important. The important point, and also not so important, is who are on haq. We worry that alim is on haq, that one. Worry, am I on haq? At the time of my maut, it's not for malakul maut, not going to ask me, how was that alim, was he on the right? That alim, who was on the right? Which one was on? You yourself. We will be questioned. Worry about ourselves. Today we don't worry about ourselves. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to the masjid, Masjid-e-Nabawi. What to be called? After Haram Sharif, Masjid-e-Nabawi, the greatest masjid. And he found people giggling and laughing. When he saw that, he told them, hey, you people, remembered your mort. This should not have been your condition. Today we don't remember mort. Now we got all the time for World Cup. If we remembered our mort, there should be no time for World Cup. We got all the time to wash our cars. Wash them, clean them, but all the details and that. Our gardens, we are worried. Small, small things of dunya. In one hadith it comes, work for your dunya as though you are going to live forever. And work for your akhirat as though you are going to die now. So if some people give the wrong for your dunya, work as though you're going to live forever. Work only for your dunya. And akhirat, Manan Sayyid Khan Sahib, rahimahumullah, what a beautiful explanation he gave. Work for your dunya as though you're going to live forever. So a latch is broken in the house, we'll see to it. We don't have to get it done now and now. Nothing is running away. We'll do it. We'll do that. I have to mow the lawn. I'll do it. I don't have to do it now and now. To our dunya, we don't have to rush. For your akhirat, as though you're going to die now. Don't delay. I have to do it now. I didn't read my Durud of today. Now let me read it. I mustn't waste my time. I haven't got time to with my phone. I haven't got time to sit with my friends. Soccer and World Cup, out of the question. My garden, I haven't got time. I haven't got time for my other basic. I have to prepare for my Akhirat. Akhirat is in front of me. What am I doing? So today, the fikr of mort is not in us. If that is the one basic thing, also Allah reward our mashayikh. They, for example, you go and fight with a person, you want to make his islah, don't watch the soccer. Don't worry about the result. Don't worry about this. You won't get anywhere. You just make his fikr of akhirat. Then everything of his own will come right. Today, if we just get the fikr of akhirat, we won't waste time. On our own, who can monitor you when you are under the blankets? Your wife also, she's sleeping away. What you seeing on your phone? But if you have the fikr of your maut. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worry about your maut. And then he explained it, and Allah makes it, it comes in me, it comes in all of us, that there isn't a day that our qabr, my qabr calls out. Everyone's qabr calls out to us and says, I'm a day, place of desolateness. A place of wilderness, where I'm solitude, no one, a place of worms, a place where there is nothing. And when a righteous person, a believer, obedient servant of Allah, he passes away, the qabr tells him of all who are walking on the surface of the earth, Allah's system, they know everything. The qabr, which is like a dead thing, but it has got life also. You are the most beloved to me. Now that you have come to me, you will see how I will treat you. And then the qabr becomes spacious to that person. And as far as he can see, it becomes spacious. Then the doors of Jannat are opened on that person. And the sweet smelling fragrance of Jannat comes to that person. And so many other namat here in this hadith, this one namat. And the fragrance, it will make a person mad, but not mad like dunya. Made in the love, you will be taken aback. What beautiful fragrance they will come. And you will enjoy all the namas there. On the other hand, when a sinner comes into the qabr, then the qabr tells him, of all the people walking on the surface of the earth, you were the most hated to me. Now that you have come to me, you will see how I will treat you. And then it crushes him until the rubs of one side come into the rubs of the other side. Like this, I'm just saying it, we are just hearing it. But you try, go home, and if we have got a plier, or we have got a vice grip, and put your finger in there, just a tip, and close it, and press it, and then see the pain that you go through. Yeah, in this dunya, people who torture, Allah protect us all, they pull out their nails from their body. They pull out their teeth. What pain when the rubs of one side right into the rubs of the other side. What pain that person will go through. And then 70 serpent snakes are let loose on that person. One drop of the poison of the snake, if it is to come in this dunya, not a blade of grass will grow till the day of Qiyamah. Grass is a thing which is very strong. It will, all your kakuyu lot, which is also very strong, grass will kill it. There will be no grass left. Your other flowers and things, if you don't take out the grass, it will kill it. But one drop of that poison will kill all the grass till the day. And those, they are now appointed to bite that person till the day of Qiyamah. If a person has got worry of that, we don't have to now tell him about namaz. He will make sure he's half an hour before time for namaz. He is preparing, I can't miss my namaz. A person who hears the adhan and doesn't respond and go to the masjid for namaz is worse than you take lead and you pour it in his ear. Lead is so, how hot and terrible. What wa'id and punishment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to worry of, you just get the fikr of maut. What will happen to me? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the qabr is either a garden of Jannat for a person, or is a pit of hell. How many people have passed away 5,000 years? Presently, how many people are going? If they went as obedient servants, if they went, and we are talking that don't speak about the matrix, and don't speak about the sports and death, in the qabr things will come. Many people think there is another side of the story. There is definitely another side. The other side of the story is in the qabr. When that will open up to a person, then he will, and there is it's a place of no return. Yeah, the qabr went, many of us made mistakes. We sold our iman, but we have, those who are still living got a chance to rectify. Once mort will come, those who passed away, no chance to rectify. With what iman we went there, that is what we are going to get. So anyway, this will happen all the time. Allah's system also, that Allah will use people. And it comes in the hadith, at every 100 years, every century of the Islamic year, calendar, Allah will send a mujaddid, a person who will revive and correct the deen. There is great discussion of this in the muhaddithin. They say it may be a group of people, not one person. And some of them will purify hadith when people have brought lot of other things, other people in the fiqh, whatever it is, but Allah will bring a person. And the thing for us to understand, always Allah will send. In our century now, what we have seen, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib rahmatullah alayh, how they were, Maulana Ilyas, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayh said, Ilyas ne Yas ko aas se badal, aas ko Yas se badal, Yas ko aas se badal, from having no, we lost hope. He desperation, he put full hope in the ummah again. People who, where they were far away from deen, they became great walis. Their children became great ulama, and we see it happening. Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, all the bid'at and all the wrong things, even in tasawwuf, all the false tasawwuf, fake tasawwuf, he took it all out. So they reformed the ummah, and this has happened all the time in the history. So when they will come, the important thing is, people will say, a reformer has come. So now he'll give us a deen according to our mizaj. Now the work of a reformer always will be taking you back to sunnah. As Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to give this example. You are very thirsty. You are in the city, in the town. Now when you are thirsty, you are going out of the town to look for water. You are going in the desert. In the desert you are not going to find water. You see a mirage in the distance. It looks like water. Dazzling water. Whether it's on our tar roads or whether it's on the desert sand, it looks, you go there, no water. Hatta idha ja'ahu lam yajidhu shay'a, nothing there. Now I see it further. You can carry on, and you can carry on walking till where you see the horizon. What is the horizon? Where the sky meets the earth. But you can walk the world around. You won't find the skies meeting the earth. They are separate. It looks to you that they are meeting. And you can walk the earth around, you go out in the desert, you won't find, come back to the city. And which city? The city of Medina. And how much back must you go? 1400 years ago. The time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then you'll just open a tap and water will gush out. Wonderful, sweet, treated water, good water. It will just come out. So our success is not to go in front. Our success is to go back. People of the world, kuffar are kuffar, but unfortunately how many Muslims, how many ulama say we must go front, we must be in the forefront of sports, forefront in politics, forefront in all other things. We have to go backwards to the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much we go back, that is the work of a mujaddid, that he will take the people back to the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then people will find solace and peace, enjoyment of life, and enjoyment is only in the deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is not a modern deen, which is not a watered down deen, which is not a deen where you compromise. You have sports also in there, and you have your namazes also in there. No, it is a deen which is of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Siyahatu ummati al jihadu fi sabilillah. The touring that today Muslims like to go on, touring also. Somebody is doing skiing, somebody is doing water, scuba diving, somebody is doing on the water, surfing on the water, and boasting about it. I'm the first sheikh to surf on the water. If you want to do it, you enjoy, do it. But now to go and put it on your Twitter account that I'm the first chef to do surfing. Well, all this, where are we going? So all this wrong direction. See who is on the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is following the Quran, who is following the sunnah and the teaching of the Khulafai Rashideen, of the three golden eras of Islam, and all our Akabin and Aslaf who are on that. That is our way, not our modern way, where in the White House textbooks are written for Saudi Arabia, for the deen. The deen textbooks are being prepared. What deen is that? That the United Nations, New World Order, one religion, one world, one religion. One religion is only the religion of Islam, not the Abrahamic Accord, not the interfaith business, not our open days of our masjid, where even the non-Muslim, our Muslim women are not allowed to come to the masjid if they are napak, they are in their monthly. And the non-Muslim woman, what they know about paki and napaki, and they must be allowed to come to the masjid. So always, Allah will send reformers, and this is the system of Allah. The batil will be there, it will raise its ugly head, and Allah won't let it reign free. Allah will send the people who will fight it. So the differences will be there, and it's expected. And the thing is, I must see on which side am I. When my maut will come, am I ready? Have I got my iman in order? More than I'm worried about the ulama and the fight of the ulama, and the whole day I'm putting messages about this alim and that malim, I must be worried about myself. What is my life going to be? So the qabr and the great quality that we have to have, the ulama right, is the quality of iman. Today we are worried of having distinctions in the schools, etc. One girl who got 7 distinctions. When they congratulated the father said, if you just had a pass mark in listening to me, I have to do everything, spend money on her, but she doesn't listen one word of mine. She's just doing what she wants to. A boy comes home and tells his mommy, I got 8 A's. Mommy is not interested, carrying on after a long time. He says, don't you hear me? Aren't you hearing? I got 8 A's, 8 distinctions. She say, my son, if you just had one A, the A of Allah, that was everything for me. All these other A's mean absolutely nothing to me. If you had the one A of Allah, today who is worried? What our Allahu Akbar? Time is gone also, and it's not even the forum. But what is happening, those who are going to missionary schools? A girl says that the pastor, the priest, mother says, that my daughter will be in the care of the pastor, so I got no worry. Care of that pastor and priest, what is going to happen? At all the monasteries, the amount of illegitimate children that are born, the monks and the nuns are living together, all waiting for Isa alayhi salam, not getting married. They're not getting married, but the amount of skeletons of the small babies that are found. And my daughter is in the care of the priest and the pastor, so I know she's safe. What things are happening? May Allah open our minds and let us see reality. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.